Michelle's a pro at this bowling night from match. She's a real head-turner and getting all the strikes and attention. But my eye's on Amy. A bit clumsy, hasn't hit a pin all night. But that's exactly what I like about her.
Meet singles at our match bowling nights. Join Match Free today. 18 and over, additional fees and subscriptions apply. See match.com for details.
Wednesday, February 17, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday and bring you just a little bit different of a take on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. We release them on Wednesdays about noon Mountain Standard Time. You can download the podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on iTunes or pretty much anywhere else that podcasts are hosted. Or head over to our website. You can always listen to it there. DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com. Put up a few new articles every single week. Put a link to the podcast up every single week. You can head over there and check it out. In fact, I would encourage you to head over to the website today and check out an article that went up yesterday. You might find it interesting. Going to talk a little bit about an article that I put up earlier this week that has gotten a little bit of attention on social media. If you would like to contact the show, feel free to shoot us an email. Got a comment, got a concern, need some advice, need a little bit of feedback from us, we would be glad to help you out. You can email the show, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter. Both of those are at Daily Dose Sports. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, going to hand out a few postseason NFL awards. You know, the NFL season is over. We're done. Going to hand out a few NFL awards, Daily Dose style. Plus, we are going to be joined by John in the Inland Empire out in California. He is going to stop by. Want to talk a little bit about the NBA. You know, All-Star Weekend took place this last week. Would like to get some of his thoughts on All-Star Weekend and take a look at the NBA kind of at the midpoint of the NBA season. Want to talk to John just a little bit about the NBA. Plus, as we always do, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. Always a very popular segment on the show. You got to stick around and make sure that you check that out. You know, there's a couple things coming out in the world of news that I want to get to before we head over to John and before we get to our NFL awards. A couple things coming out in the news today. New England Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo, just 29 years old, says he's retiring from the NFL. We're starting to see this more and more, and we've talked a little bit about this on the show. We're starting to see more and more where these guys say, hey, I've made enough money. I'm not putting my body on the line anymore. I'm done, you know, checking out before the age of 30. Now, the Patriots were probably going to have to release Mayo because he's making so much money. He was scheduled to be due $11.4 million, second highest on the team after Tom Brady. Mayo says he's done. This is a young guy. This is a pretty talented player, but he says he's not going to fight it and that he is finished. You know, there's a lot of talk, and I want to talk to John about it. There's a lot of talk about Los Angeles Clippers possibly trading Blake Griffin. Head coach Doc Rivers said no. I've told you we're not trading Blake, but I guess everyone else wants to keep doing that, so we'll let them keep doing that. Well, it sounds like the front office keeps making calls. So, I mean, I know what Doc is saying. I understand Doc's feeling on this, but Doc Rivers is kind of acting like that's not going to happen. Maybe not, but if not, it's probably because you can't get fair value for him, more so than, oh, we would never trade Blake Griffin. Well, it sounds like you've already made a few phone calls. In fact, it sounds like he called Denver. I don't know who nixed that deal. Somebody's lying because they both said that they are the ones who shot that deal down, but somebody's lying. So I don't know if I'm going to buy that whole thing from Doc Rivers. Charlotte Hornets and Houston Rockets are talking about maybe a trade for Dwight Howard. There's a lot of talk right now. Trade deadline coming up on Thursday. A lot of talk that Dwight Howard could be moved. Again, we'll talk to John a little bit about that here in just a few minutes. You know, one of the biggest stories coming out, and I would be remiss if I didn't touch on it, is the story coming out about Peyton Manning. And being here in Denver, everybody here, if you listen to the show very often, you know that I'm a Bronco fan. We do talk a lot about the Denver Broncos on this show. You know, there's a story that came out in the New York Daily News where, you know, there were, Sean King, this writer for the New York Daily News, basically issued kind of this report saying, there was a story that took place back when Manning was in college that kind of got hushed up by Peyton Manning and the Manning family. And that Peyton Manning's legacy has basically been built on a history of lies by him and his family. You might have seen this. In fact, the words, sexual assault were kind of lobbed around. The words, the story coming out, sexual harassment, I guess, it sounds like it is kind of what they were talking about. And I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole here. But I do want to just discuss it just briefly. Just briefly, let's talk about this Peyton Manning situation. The story that came out, there was a trainer back in the 90s when Peyton Manning was at the University of Tennessee that says she filed a sexual harassment claim against the university, not against Peyton Manning. Please understand, there were never charges that were brought against Peyton Manning in any way. Now this story has come out. Sean King has released this report where he released her side of the story in the New York Daily News. Now, a couple things about this I want you to keep in mind. First off, writer Sean King is a guy that admittedly has an axe to grind. He did not like the way Cam Newton was covered during Super Bowl week. He felt that was a racial thing, and he has said he wants to go after Peyton Manning. He's admitted that. He's admitted that he has a beef with the way the two things were covered. And so that he's kind of taken it upon himself to go after Peyton Manning a little bit. Okay. I mean, I guess you can do that. Here's a couple of the problems that I have. And I'll be very upfront. I'm not a Peyton Manning fan per se. I'm a Denver Bronco fan. If what Peyton Manning did is wrong and we need to call him out on it, you know, I have no problem doing that. I don't care who you are. I don't care what uniform you are. If I feel like you're wrong, then I'm going to say you're wrong. Here's the problem that I have. A couple things. For one, Sean King only presented one side of the story. He didn't go to the Manning family. He didn't get any side of their story in his report and say, okay, here's what they say happened. He just presented her side of the story. Now, you might say, okay, but she has, it's a he said, she said, so we see her side. Here's some of the problem. She's changed her story a few times. Do you realize that this trainer, that this all stems from, signed an affidavit in 96 saying that she never had any physical contact with Peyton Manning? Now the story is changing and that he did something that would somehow, be called sexual harassment. There, like I said, there are people throwing around the word sexual assault. Easy. You signed a paper, and not only did you sign this paper, you signed a paper and be careful what you say, because you might end up getting yourself in a lawsuit. Changing exactly what you said. Now you say, now there were other people in the locker room. One person in there I know has changed their story as well. I have no problem if Peyton Manning did this and Peyton Manning is guilty of this, but you can't change your story and tweak it and try to make it. Is it a coincidence that this is coming out right after he won the Super Bowl? This happened back in 96, 97 era. It's just coming out now. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm take all the stuff you're hearing about us a little bit with a grain of salt, because the story has changed. The person that is saying the story has signed paperwork saying it was one way, and now she's kind of changing. The writer we know has kind of a beef with Peyton Manning. Exercise caution. I know I have a very, very smart listening audience. Exercise caution when you hear some of this nonsense coming out about Peyton Manning. That's all I'm going to talk about. That's all we need to say. We'll go forward from there. Hey, let's jump into our NFL awards, because, it was a crazy NFL season. I mean, it started with Deflategate. It ended with Peyton Manning and HGH and whatever this mess is, Gate. Bottom line, honestly, is when there's no football, we will come up with anything to still talk about football. Just whatever you do, please, please, please don't make us watch basketball or baseball for 9 solid months. We will literally talk about anything else to do with football rather than get to that. The Denver Broncos beat the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50, and now, I mean, we're going to start talking about the NFL draft. We're going to start talking about the NFL combine. Again, literally anything that we can talk about until next season to keep us having to watch sports that we really don't care about. But, to end up the season, just to kind of finish out the 2015 NFL season the way that we need to, here at the Daily Dose, we are going to hand out a few NFL postseason awards. Are you ready? Here come our NFL awards. Most valuable player. Hey, the most valuable player was given to Cam Newton. I completely understand it. I'm okay with that. I don't have a huge issue with it, but I'm actually going to give the Daily Dose most valuable player to New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski. I want you to think about this for a second. 87 receptions, 1,400 yards, and 14 touchdowns. Now, if you sit there and you say, oh, come on, he's got Tom Brady, he's got Bill Belichick, think about this. Remember when he got hurt in the Denver game? I mean, Patriot fans were seriously walking out on ledges. Like, they were like, we're done. This is it. He can't, and then it ended up not being a real serious knee injury, and they had carted him off, and he had the wheelchair and the whole thing. But when you think of how valuable Gronkowski is within that offense, when he went out, they lost a couple games. He comes back in, they won a couple games. It's not a coincidence. Rob Gronkowski might be the most valuable player in the NFL. That's who we're giving our award to. How about Coach of the Year? You know, Ron Rivera won it, but I want you to think about this real quick. You know, he did a great job getting Carolina to the Super Bowl, and who expected that? But I want you to think about this. Ron Rivera didn't have to replace his legendary quarterback midseason and then have that replacement start shaving points so that he could bring the legendary starter back in. I mean, do you realize the work that was put in by Denver Bronco head coach Gary Kubiak? First, he has Peyton Manning struggling. Okay, he's hurt. Oh, let's bring him out. Brock Osweiler, you go, and he does a decent job, does an okay job. Then he has to tell Brock, hey, can you like throw some interceptions? Can we have a couple fumbles? Can you do something so that I can bring Peyton Manning back on and he can finish this all in style? Do you realize how difficult? And if you sit there and you say, that's not what happened. Come on. Clint, we know that isn't how that all went down. Brock Osweiler managed to lose to the Oakland Raiders at home. Tell me again how that didn't happen. Coach of the Year, it's got to go to Gary Kubiak. It's got to. Our Rookie of the Year. Now, you might give it to Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston, and you can do that if you want to. But here's the problem. Tampa went 6-10, and let's be honest. Jameis is going to make you a little bit nervous when he hangs out with your wife, daughter, or girlfriends or whatever, you know, at the award ceremony. So the Daily Dose, we're going to go a different route. We're going to give it to Kansas City Chiefs cornerback Marcus Peters. Do you realize this rookie Marcus Peters had 8 interceptions? He had 2 of them for touchdowns. And he had a forced fumble. Got to give it to Marcus Peters. He had a pretty good year. And, you know, Kansas City at least made the postseason. So I'm giving it to him. Offensive Player of the Year. Offensive Player of the Year. Hey. Let's be honest. It's got to go to Cam Newton. Cam Newton threw for 35 touchdowns. He ran for another 10 touchdowns. And yes, we kind of have that lasting memory of what, you know, he did in the Super Bowl, but he had a pretty amazing year offensively. And best of all, he's been in kind of a foul mood lately. So when we give him this award, his acceptance speech is going to be short. We're probably not going to have to play the music and you know, have the girl come walking up and come on, let's get off the stage here. No, we'll give it to Cam Newton because he's probably going to be a little bit short with his time. Defensive Player of the Year. I know. Who else could it go to, though? I mean, Von Miller dominated the postseason. He had pretty good stats going into the postseason, and then he actually turned it up. He was the Super Bowl MVP. And have you noticed since the Super Bowl, you're seeing Von Miller on like every single TV show and live event that there is. We saw him at the Grammys. We saw him on Saturday Night Live. He was on Ellen. He was at the NBA All-Star Weekend. I think he was on Oprah. I saw him on Donahue. He was on Sally Jesse Raphael. He made an appearance on In Living Color. He was on Geraldo, Days of Our Lives, The Bold and the Beautiful. And here's the thing. You hear all these things that Von Miller is doing. He still doesn't like try to drum up as much TV coverage as like J.J. Watt. So yeah, Von Miller kind of has to be the guy, doesn't he? I mean, isn't that only fair? We're giving our Defensive Player of the Year to Von Miller. Comeback Player of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year. There's a couple guys that this could go to, and some of you might give it to Carson Palmer. But then Carson Palmer in the playoffs went like all, I don't know, Craig Morton on us. Against the Panthers, had 6 turnovers and gave everyone this huge inflated sense of who the Panthers really were. Because let's be honest, you looked at what the Panthers did and you were like, yeah, but did you see what they did to Arizona? Well, Yeah, but I also know it was Carson Palmer. So instead of Carson Palmer, I'm going to give it to Kansas City Chiefs safety, Eric Berry. Eric Berry overcame Hodgkin's lymphoma, had a huge growth in his chest, overcame that, came back. He had 61 tackles, 2 interceptions, and he actually made the Chiefs defense that struggled a year ago without him pretty presentable, pretty competitive. Kansas City Chiefs were kind of getting it going at the end of the season. Now, we've got to give a couple other awards out like we usually do. Our first Daily Dose Award is our Cade McNown Award. Now, you might be sitting there going, hey, Cade McNown, what did he do? Well, this award is given to, you know, that small quarterback that comes out. He's drafted a little higher than he should be, and he probably thinks he's a lot better than he really is going to be. And pretty soon, we'll see this quarterback. He'll be out of the NFL. Best case scenario, he'll be like an account manager at his dad's company. Worst case scenario, he'll be in the top bunk at like the state pen. Our Cade McNown Award this year has got to go, of course, to Cleveland Brown quarterback Johnny Manziel. Never know what we're going to get from week to week with that guy. I'm sure he won't be a Cleveland quarterback for very much longer. Johnny, congrats. You are this year's Cade McNown Award winner. Our second award we're going to give out, Daily Dose style, has got to be the Richard Todd Award. Now, you might be thinking about, who Richard Todd? Who's Richard Todd? You know, in 1982, the New York Jets were actually, I'm going to say this, and when I say this out loud, I'm going to hear it myself for the first time, but it's going to shock even me. The 1982 Jets were actually Super Bowl contenders. No, really. I'm being serious. The 82 Jets were Super Bowl contenders. They went 6-3. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals in the wild card game. And then in the divisional playoffs, they faced the top seed Los Angeles Raiders. They beat the Raiders too and were headed to the AFC Championship game. And even though Richard Todd is the quarterback of the New York Jets, you start thinking, well, I mean, maybe they're not that bad. Maybe they have a chance. And if they somehow beat the Miami Dolphins, they're going to Super Bowl 17. But then Richard Todd goes all Richard Todd on us. And in the playoff game against the Dolphins, which was a close game, it was actually a close game. I mean, Miami wins 14-0. Richard Todd throws 5 interceptions, and you go, oh, I knew the whole time. I knew he was terrible. Why did I ever let myself think that we even had a chance? Well, this year, we have a Richard Todd Award winner. And I'm going to be honest, possibly new award namesake, Houston Texans quarterback Brian Hoyer, who goes into a playoff game against the Kansas City Chiefs at home, and you sit there and you think, well, maybe if he just isn't horrible, the Texans can compete in this game. And then Brian Hoyer goes all Brian Hoyer on us. 4 interceptions, 1 fumble, and the Texans get blanked 30-0 at home. Congrats, Brian Hoyer. Well done. Our final award that we are going to give out today has got to be our Marvin Lewis Award. And the Marvin Lewis Award, if you aren't familiar, it's given to the coach that just displays an inability for doing anything with all of the talent that he has on his roster. And I want you to think about this just a little bit. I want you to think about some of the people that this could go to. Because, hey, it could go to Rex Ryan. I mean, he takes a very, very good Buffalo Bills defense. Somehow, he's going to make them better, makes them worse, and they go 8-8 and don't make the playoffs. It could go to someone like Jason Garrett down with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, yes, he lost his quarterback. He lost his star receiver, but couldn't do anything whatsoever. And the Dallas Cowboys go 4-12. They still have some talent on the roster, don't they? Or at least that's what Jerry Jones keeps telling us. They still have talent on the roster. 4-12? Maybe it goes to, you know, Los Angeles Rams, St. Louis Rams, whatever we want to call them. Head coach Jeff Fisher, who every single year just finishes 7-9, 8-8, again and again and again and again, like they do every single year. They've got talent on that roster. We look at the Rams roster, we're like, they beat the Seahawks every single year. They're so good in their own division, playing against some of the best teams in the NFL. He obviously has talent. He's finding ways to not get anything out of it. But our winner this year of the Marvin Lewis Award has to be, well, Well, I'm going to be honest. This is a little bit of a surprise. Our Marvin Lewis Award winner is Marvin Lewis. I mean, look at Cincinnati. Loaded roster. They have talent on both sides of the ball. They have skill positions. They have physical talent. They have offensive and defensive lines. They have a ton of talent on that Cincinnati Bengals squad. They had a playoff game won. Game's over. Just finish it and you're done. But through sheer determination and just blatant stupidity, the Cincinnati Bengals found a way to give it all away, as only, let's be honest, Marvin Lewis' team can do. Congrats, Marvin Lewis, for winning your own award. Well done. I do want to get over to John and talk to John just a little bit. This is a guy that can talk. I mean, he can talk some you know, college hoops. He can talk college football. He can talk some NFL. He can talk some NBA. He loves tennis. I'm not gonna go into tennis, but he loves tennis. But I got to bring in John from the Inland Empire. John, thanks so much for joining us today. First off, how is the smog today in the Inland Empire? Is it can you taste the smog or no?
Oh no, not at all. Today is actually a beautiful shade of gray. About 70 degrees out here. You know, it's been roughly in the 80s the last week, but you know, it's been sunny pretty much every single day here in Southern California. How's it going for you, Clint?
It's going good. We actually have warm temperatures here. A week ago, we had like a foot of snow. Today, it's supposed to be in the 70s, so you're sending some of that warm weather this way. But that's too warm for me. I can't do that. I heard you guys are like getting already in the 80s and 90s. It's February. You can't have that already.
Well, you know, I wore my rain sandals about 2 weeks ago when we got some rain. We're supposed to get some rain tonight, so I got my rain sandals out again. So it'll probably be a brisk 65, 70 degrees with a little bit of drizzle coming down.
Sure. See, you need to come visit us out here in these months. This is when it's more fun out here in Colorado. Before we get to the NBA, and I do want to talk some NBA, I want to talk some All-Star Game stuff with you. Do you have your Rams jersey yet? Did you go pick one of those up yet or no?
No, I haven't got one yet, although, you know, it's exciting out there. I see everybody pulling their Rams jerseys out of the woodworks. I guess there was Rams fans here. I haven't seen them for so long, but, yeah, they were here. They were hiding. I guess they were in hibernation.
Is that a big thing back there? Like, is L.A. excited to have football, do you think? Are they excited for the NFL?
As far as L.A. is concerned, it's a very diverse market. You got fans from all over the place, but they all travel to go see their teams play. I mean, they go to Pittsburgh, they go to Oakland, they go to Frisco, they go to San Diego, they go to Arizona to go see their teams play. To have a team in their own backyard and they can go there to see their teams play is pretty damn exciting. So not only are the Rams fans excited, all the fans in Southern California are excited.
That's interesting. So it looks like the Raiders and the Chargers have one more year, and then we're not exactly sure. What's kind of the word going on back there? What will the Raiders and the Chargers do after this season?
It's still up in the air. I mean, the Chargers are pushing pretty hard to come over. It works out great with the Chargers having an NFC and AFC team both here. Doesn't mess with the games. Not a lot of San Diego fans in L.A. There just isn't.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of Oakland fans still sitting out here.
Well, sure. I mean, they had moved out to L.A., you know, back in the 80s and all, and had so much success when they did. I just didn't know what the feeling was there, if they were excited. If the Raiders were to come back to L.A., I mean, they feel like more of an L.A. fit, but I guess, you know, they do what they have to do. Maybe the Raiders end up going to Vegas, and we do get that team in Vegas, and then you guys could pick up Johnny Manziel. I like that idea a lot.
No, actually, I think Manziel is going to be done up this year. I know he spent Valentine's weekend with Louie Anderson.
Right.
Out of that Texas resort, so I don't know if he's still alive. I haven't seen any reports or anything on his Instagram that says he's still alive right now, but we're still waiting.
Well, those will start to trickle in here any day now. You never know what you're going to get with him. I know NBA All-Star Weekend isn't for us. I get that. It's for the little kids. It's for the kids that sit there and say, I got to see so-and-so dunk. All-Star Weekend wasn't bad. It was pretty good, all things considered. Did you like the dunk contest? Did you like the three-point contest?
I really liked the three-point contest. I thought that Devin Booker, the 19-year-old,
yeah,
he went out there and he shot the lights out. I mean, he knocked out Harden, Redick, he knocked out Lowry. He really had no business in the top three, but I was really happy to see him out there competing against the Splash Brothers, of course.
They're just unfair. I mean, they're just ridiculous how good they are. The funny thing to me And this is just me, and I won't lie. I thought the dunk contest was very, very good. But I'm starting to hear the people jumping on with both feet saying it's the greatest dunk contest ever. Good dunks. I'll give you that. Good dunks. I don't know if it's the greatest ever.
I will definitely say this. Okay, some of those dunks were the most dynamic.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I've ever seen. I will definitely say that. You know, but you have the Wilkins, you got the Jordan Wilkins and Spud Webb competition. You got the one where Webb pulled it out, and he was doing things that were pretty dynamic himself. But you know, I got to give it out to you, Clinton, the Denver Nuggets. You know, because Will the Thrill Barton was there.
Oh, how good was he?
And he had probably the best entrance I've ever seen. You know, he had the Thriller zombies out there.
Sure. Him, yes.
As he was making his way to the court, and I believe he did complete one dunk.
Did he? I might have missed that. The best part for me was that, you know, he missed the dunks, and then he's like, well, I just got to go get one down so I can just get through, and then he missed that one too. That to me kind of summed up the Denver Nuggets franchise. The interesting part to me about the dunk contest, and like you said, back in the day, you had Jordan, you had Wilkins, yeah. You know, the biggest difference to me is back in those days, you had guys that we actually knew. Like, I like these young guys. Zach, but tell me the next time Zach LaVine actually plays in a real game. Like, it never happens.
No. Back then, I mean, you had the big name players. You guys get the top players representing the markets in their area.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't see LeBron going out there and competing against Steph or Clay or those kind of guys out there. They don't. They protect themselves. They don't want to do it.
Right. If you had LeBron going out there this year and going against, like, Kevin Durant, or you know, Russell Westbrook, so then I could sit there and say, well, yeah, no, that's comparable. Having two guys that are like the 11th man coming off their bench, as good as the dunk contest was, I can't compare the eras because it's completely different. Jordan and Dominique were at the height of their popularity when they went out and participated in this, and that's why it was so, so much better. The game itself, the All-Star game itself, like I said, it was a layup line. We literally saw guys getting out of the way like, oh, no, I don't want to mess up your dunk. Go ahead and get up and dunk that. Just, whatever. Looking at the NBA this year, I want to talk a little bit about the NBA. We're kind of at the mid-season point right now. If you're looking at this, John, how many teams are even capable of, like, winning the championship? Is there, like, what, three, four? I don't know.
You know what, man? I would say you got Golden State, you got San Antonio,
yeah.
You got OKC.
Yeah.
You got Cleveland.
Sure.
I like Boston coming out of the East. I would say those would be that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're big on Boston. You like Boston.
Yeah. You know, I like Boston a lot. Man, I mean, they got four guards on that team, and all four of them can contribute offensively, and they play a solid defense. I don't know if you saw when they played Golden State. That game went two overtimes.
Yeah.
They lost by five, but they held Golden State to 124 in two overtimes. Teams in the West can't hold them under 130 in a regular season game in four quarters.
Sure. Well, they can play that small ball a little bit, and like you said, they can play it a little bit defensively. That could give them problems. My concern with Boston is just because of their youth, I worry that when the game's on the line, do they have anybody that can step up? Here's something that can put a fly in the ointment of the Boston Celtics. They go out and try to make a trade for Dwight Howard. Then it's over.
Yeah. I've already seen that in the news, and that's just a nightmare. Dwight's a cancer.
Golden State rolling along. Obviously, they look like they're toying with teams. It's not just that they're beating them; it's the way they're beating them. They're beating them in huge, huge numbers. Are they going to beat the Bulls 72, record?
You know what? I see them doing it, but I see them. And if you notice their games, you know, Steph's starting to struggle a little bit with the shot, and so is Clay, especially during the games. They're getting tired.
Yeah, they might be.
They're putting in a lot of minutes. You know, their top six guys are averaging close to 32 minutes a game. You know, I don't think anyone on San Antonio is averaging more than 29 minutes a game.
Well, I know Duncan's not. He's been sitting out for 3 weeks, so he's clearly not. The thing that has helped them was early in the season, especially, they had guys getting less minutes. I worry that you chase this record and chase this record and chase this record, and then you realize the record really doesn't mean anything, and now the playoffs start. I think that's my biggest concern for Golden State.
Oh yeah, and then you have Clay and Steph stepping up and having to guard a guy like Westbrook, who just has so much in the tank. I mean, I don't care what time of the year it is. That guy's energy level that he brings to every game is ridiculous.
Westbrook is a freak. I mean, he plays like almost like a running back. I mean, he's so explosive. He just attacks everything he does. I'm fascinated by him. I don't know that I'm a Westbrook fan, but I'm fascinated. He's fun to watch. He just explodes on everything he does. Sometimes I see him get to the rim and he looks like, oh, I'm already up here. I don't even know what to do now. He's a bizarre player.
You know, the one thing that I watched the game when they played Golden State and, OKC kind of gave that game away at the end.
Yeah, they did.
Durant took some terrible shots. But you know what? For the most part, they kind of try and hide Steph from ever getting onto Westbrook.
Well, sure.
You know, and even with Klay, you know, Klay got in some trouble. And actually, they didn't call the fouls as they, you know, probably should have. But there was a ton of fouls that could have been called. And on Draymond Green, on Klay, on Steph, whatever, there was a switch between Durant and Westbrook. And I see that being a problem in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
You got to play defense.
At what point do we start holding Kevin Durant to the standard that we kind of hold LeBron to? I feel like there's going to come a day when we're going to sit here and say, you know what, Durant, why aren't you winning anything? Like, you have one of the greatest guards in the NBA next to you. You're surrounded by some talent. You now have a guy in there that's coaching these guys up. I think Billy Donovan's done a phenomenal year with the Thunder. At what point do we start going, come on, KD, when are you going to step up and win something?
When he goes east. You know, when he goes east. In the West, yeah. Man, it's tough. I mean, you got legends out here right now. I mean, you got Duncan. You got Kawhi Leonard coming up, who can guard just about anybody in the league.
Right.
And then you got the Golden State Warriors. You got the Clippers. There's just a ton of talent coming out of the West. It is so difficult just to play a regular season in the West. It's up tempo. It's aggressive. It's offensive. You go to the East and you kind of play that slow, grind it down, one possession at a time kind of basketball. If he ever went to the East, I would see him definitely making it to the finals and possibly winning one.
Well, and there's talk. I mean, could he go to Cleveland? Could he join up with LeBron? I don't know if LeBron's or if the Cleveland Cavaliers are really, really built to win it all this year. I mean, anything can happen, but there's talk that maybe he could go there. There's talk because, you know, his contract is up after this year. There's talk, you know who he's still very good friends with is James Harden. There's talk he could go down to Houston, not pay taxes, and go down to Houston and make them maybe a little more competitive. But again, he's going to have to go through the West if he goes there.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, Houston is a really good team, and they really went far in the playoffs a lot further than I would have thought.
Right.
Playing any defense.
Well, yeah, and now it's letting them down. Because they're still not playing any defense, but now their offense has fallen apart too. Speaking of Houston, I'm glad you brought that up. Because speaking of Houston, what teams are you looking at in the NBA right now that you're just going, man, what happened to you? Who are the biggest disappointments you're seeing?
Oh, man, definitely it's got to be the Wizards and the Bucks in the East.
Yes.
I don't know if losing Paul Pierce was that big of a deal for the Wizards, but, man, apparently it was. They're playing terrible, and the Bucks, they pull one great game, you know, every four or five of them. And then they lose terrible games.
Right, they're
you know,
just inconsistent.
The rest of the time.
Yeah. Well, with Washington, it's funny because you said that too. They lose Paul Pierce, but where they're losing is they're losing defensively. They're horrible on defense this year. Paul Pierce wasn't bringing any defense.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, he's definitely not a category that he's known for.
Yeah, he's a gunner.
And in the West, I mean, the Phoenix Suns are just terrible.
I can't figure that out.
Houston, they're playing terrible. I mean, there's a lot of disappointments in the West.
New Orleans, I know that they're banged up, and I know they lost some guys in their backcourt, but New Orleans has been really, really disappointing. You figure if you have Anthony Davis, we're at least in it. Yeah, you're not even in it right now. And like I said, I know some of that is injuries, but just kind of painful to watch some of those teams. What about teams that are surprising you? Any teams that might be worth watching that maybe people aren't really, it's not really on the radar right yet?
Well, you know, in the East, I like Indiana.
I like Indiana.
They're going to make the playoffs this year.
How good is Paul George?
No one's really watching Boston right now. And if you look at Boston's schedule, they've already beaten the Cavs, they beat the Bulls, the Wizards, the Clippers, the Pacers. They took Golden State to overtime, two overtimes. They played Golden State at the end of March. But you watch that team, kid, and I believe it's the mid of March.
Yeah,
kid, they got a tough schedule. I mean, they got to go against the Clippers. They got to go against the Cavs. They got to go against the Pacers. They got Golden State the same month. If they can pull out, you know, three, four wins out of that 7-8 game stretch, I definitely put them in the
Well, and they're interesting, and Toronto's interesting. I just wish Toronto had a little more in their front court. I like some of what they do. I like their coach. Obviously, they've got some talented guards. I just don't know if they have enough in their front court. The thing I like about Boston is Brad Stevens has done such a phenomenal job of developing his players. And I know a lot of people look at player development and they think, oh, well, you went in the gym a little early. That's not what it's about. It's guys putting in serious amount of work to kind of change their game. Brad Stevens has done an amazing job with Boston. You mentioned Indiana. How good has Paul George been?
Oh, he's got to be in the running for MVP. I don't care what anyone says, dude. That guy is carrying that team on his back.
And to shatter his leg the way he did, yeah.
The points, the assists, the rebounds, defensively. I mean, he's doing an amazing job.
I like them. Over on the West, I'm not completely sold on them, but the Dallas Mavericks are kind of getting my attention a little bit. Dallas is a lot better than I guess I thought they would be.
Yeah, you know, and they have streaks. You know, they'll put out like, you know, 7-8 games in a row, and they'll win against some pretty good teams.
Yeah, against good teams.
They'll struggle against the top teams.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if they can. I don't know if they can be a big dog, but I think with a coach like Carlisle, I look at it and go, yeah. But if they get into the playoffs, they can be a pain. I mean, we forget that year 2 years ago when the Spurs won it all. The only team that really gave the Spurs anything was the Dallas Mavericks. Rick Carlisle can just flat out coach. I like Dallas a little bit. Okay, we're going to go some speed round. I'm going to give you a couple questions. We're going to go speed round, and you've got to give me your picks. Wait, before we get to that real quick, trade deadline tomorrow. Any big trades? Are we going to see any player movement? I know Blake Griffin could move. I know Dwight Howard could move. There's a couple different guys. Anybody we're going to see a big move tomorrow?
You know, I don't think we are. I don't think we are this year. I think Dwight Howard is the biggest free agent that's available out there for trade and or being offered up, and no one's taking it. I mean, that's just too much money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And the thing with Blake Griffin, people forget that his contract expires at the end of this year. I know there was talk of maybe they can move him and do whatever. But if the contract expires, then I'm basically just, you know, leasing him for 3 months. Unless I'm right at the edge, unless I'm right at the verge where I could win it all. I hear talk about, you know, the Nuggets might be interested in Blake. What in the world is he going to do for them? Get them from, like, you know, 11th to 10th? Who cares? It doesn't make much sense to make a deal for Blake Griffin.
No, and the teams that would be prime real estates for Blake Griffin, I think Indiana Pacers would definitely be a team that'd be prime for Blake Griffin.
Yeah, and they have people that can move.
Even the Boston Celtics. I mean, they're kind of light in the power forward position. That's definitely something that they could use. I don't see them going anywhere. It's too much money and it's too little contract.
Yep, I would agree with that. Okay, let's go speed round. I'm gonna get a couple things for you. Give me your two teams that are going to make it to the NBA Finals. It's February, so obviously things can change and things can move. Give me your two teams that go to the NBA Finals.
Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics.
Woo! Man, he's got Boston going. I like it. I'll tell you what, I'll cheer that way. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'll absolutely cheer that way. Okay, who's going to win the NBA MVP?
I'm going to say Kawhi Leonard.
Man, how good is Kawhi? And you know, he's so quiet. He's not a guy that shows anything at the NBA All-Star game, but quietly, he just goes about and you're just watching him go, man, this dude is good though.
He puts up 21 points a game. He's getting like 7-8 boards. He's getting 6-7 assists, 2 or 3 steals. He's guarding your best offensive player.
Yep.
I mean, there's nobody better. There's nobody better right now.
Yeah, Kawhi is amazing. Okay, here's a little bit of a tougher one. Who do you got for Rookie of the Year?
Porzingis.
Yeah, probably so. It probably is. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, maybe with Minnesota. Porzingis, I mean, it's funny when you look at the Knicks right now, because if we were to talk about the Knicks and I said, whose team is it, you probably wouldn't say Carmelo Anthony, would you?
No.
He'd be saying the rookie.
I wouldn't, and I don't think it is.
No, I don't either. I think, now, there's a guy that I could see going to Cleveland next year.
And then just make an uglier situation even uglier.
Yes, which would be, I would love that. That would be so awesome. Yeah, it's probably Porzingis, like I said, maybe Towns. Okay, Defensive Player of the Year should be an easy one.
Oh, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. He's so good. He's so good, and he can defend your best perimeter player. Kawhi is just an amazing. Did you see that picture of him at the NBA All-Star game when they showed his hands? His hands are the same size as Shaquille O'Neal's.
Oh, yeah.
That's just freakish. Amazing. Okay, here's the big money question. Who is the NBA champion in what, like July or whatever, when we crown a new champ this year?
I'm going to say Boston.
Oh, get out of here. You're going to say Boston's going to beat Golden State?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to say the 7-game series.
All right.
I think that Stevens is an equal to coach to Steve Kerr, and I think that's the biggest difference.
I worry that Golden State has done it before, and Golden State knows they can do it again. Their experience, I think, would be huge. I'll cheer for that. I'll absolutely be rooting for that. I just don't know if I could see that, but I like the confidence that you have in Boston. And the funny part about this is because people might be listening and they might be going, oh, well, he's just a Boston guy. You're absolutely not a Boston guy. You're a West Coast guy that hates the Celtics. But, I like that you're calling your shot there. It makes it a little more interesting. Okay. We're going with Boston over on the Eastern side, and they're going to sneak through and win the whole thing. I like your pick.
Looking at the matchups, because it's all about matchups.
Yeah,
they're really the only team that can match up with Golden State. And during that game with Golden State, and even the games against Cleveland and the games against the Clippers, they make you pay for every shot that you're going to take. You're going to be contested on every single shot you take. You know, they don't turn the ball over a lot. They can score 140 points in a game if they need to. You know, but they're one of those teams that if I need to score 112 to win the game, I'm going to score 112. But you're only going to get 96. You look at their losses. They're not blown out by anybody.
Yeah.
And they're playing the best teams just like everyone else. No one is blowing them out by like 10, 12, 14 points. You're talking 6. Four,
sure. Sure.
Three,
no, they're one. In every single game. Well,
every single.
All right, you heard it here first. Don't say you didn't know. You heard it here on the Daily Dose first. Boston is going to sneak through and surprise everybody. Hey, John, I have to thank you so much for stopping by and talking some NBA. You know we'll have to do this again, and that you are always welcome. I appreciate you coming by.
Hey, thanks a lot, Clay, man. I appreciate it, and thank you everyone at the Daily Dose.
Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, the Grammys were on Monday night, and I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if you watched the Grammys. I'm not going to lie. I had them on. I wasn't, like, glued to them. I was working on some stuff, and I just kind of had them on in the background. If you were glued to them, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to question a little bit of how you spend your time. But, I mean, I saw enough of them. Like, I saw LL Cool J lick his lips like, I don't know, 4 billion times. I saw The Weeknd sporting, you know, that same hairdo as Lucy from the Peanuts cartoon. And I kind of like him. He's a pretty talented guy. Can sing a little bit. I saw Lady Gaga actually impersonating Madonna, impersonating David Bowie. It was a little confusing, but I saw that. You know, it was pretty good. Pretty good. I won't lie. I'm not like a Gaga fan, but I can respect, you know, the talent. But, you know, Grammys and music and all, it just kind of got me thinking about music and sports and the music that we play in sports. You know, there are a number of songs that have become basically synonymous with sporting events. You go to the arena, you go to the stadium, you go to the field, whatever it might be, you're going to hear these songs. And some of these songs are great songs. They get the crowd excited. They might even, you know, bleed into the players a little bit and get the players a little bit, you know, kind of amped up. But that's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about is those other songs. The songs that you wish, can you please stop playing this song? I hate this song. The awful songs, the dreadful songs that we could go the rest of our life without hearing again. So today, I bring you the Daily Dose Top 5 Worst Songs that they play at sporting events. Number 5 on our list. Oh, yeah. That's right. Anything by a boy band. Here's the thing. You're not inspiring anyone with one of these new kids on the back street in sync, you know, punks for 1 second. Nobody wants to hear that stuff. And let's get, can we get one thing clear? These aren't boys. They're like 25 years old. You know, running around in their like matching outfits. They're like 25. That's not a boy. That's not even a boy band. That's a man band. So these guys coming out with their matching outfits, and they're gonna try to be the cute one and the funny one and the sexy one. You're in a man band. Brief side note. Just a quick story. There was a time that I was coaching, and we actually went out. You go through kind of the pregame stuff. You go through kind of your scouting report, some of that stuff. You go out to warm up, and then when you come back in, you do kind of just a quick once-over. Hey, don't forget, we got to cover this, 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 this. We're running this on our first quick hitter. We're running this on our defense. It might be a press. It might be whatever it might be. And then you go back out, take the floor, and you go. When we came in for the initial kind of warm-up, the rival team, a team that, I mean, a pretty good team, they are warming up to this particular song that is playing right now. This is New Kids on the Block, I think. And they come out warming up. And we when we went back down under, I told my kids, you can ask some of my players that played, I said, there's no way we're losing to a team coming out to this man-bander stuff. And then we went out and destroyed that team. The game was already won. You could see it in the other team's eyes. When they came out to this song, you were like, no, no, no. Stop playing anything by boy bands at sporting events. We don't want to hear it. Goodness, these man-banders. Okay, number four on our list. Yeah, I know you're hearing this song. I know you're hearing Europe, the Final Countdown. And you're probably going, well, yeah, but I kind of get it. It's the last, it's right at the end of the game, and it's really a crucial moment. Nothing like some Swedish hair metal to inspire a last-second victory, right? I mean, was ABBA busy? Could they not make the scene? Here's the thing, I can't hear the song without thinking of the television show Arrested Development and, you know, when Job is doing his magic tricks. That's just me. But why is it that they always seem to play this song, Europe, the Final Countdown, when we all know that each coach still has like three timeouts left? That's not the final countdown. We've still got like another 20 minutes to go in this awful game. Can we please finish it up and stop playing this song every single timeout? I don't need to hear it again. Now it's on a commercial. I'm over this song. We don't need to play it anymore. Number three on our list of worst songs that they play at sporting events. I know. You're hearing it right now, and you're probably dancing along with it. First off, it's a horrible song. It's a terrible song. But as a rule, at a sporting event, any song that comes with its own interpretive dance doesn't ever need to be played again. And certainly, in the case of the Village People YMCA, I don't need songs to like inspire the big play put together by a medley of like policeman, construction worker, and like Studio 54 waiter or whatever. What was the guy in the leather outfit? What was he? Like, you had construction worker, you had a cop, you had Indian chief, and then I don't know what he was. Whatever he was, I don't need him singing to me about how I need to make this big play right now. Enough Village People YMCA. Let's move on to number two. Number two has got to be, see, this right here. What did I just say? No interpretive dances. I don't need to hear the Macarena ever. This is Los Del Rio and the Macarena, which I never need to hear this song again. And by the way, this isn't a feel-good song. I know you're hearing this song right now and you're saying, oh, it's a catchy song. No. Do you know what this song actually talks about? It's about a girl whose boyfriend is going to like join the army, so she goes and cheats on him with not one, but two different guys. Hey, Macarena. Yeah, nice. That's classy. I like that. Number one on our list of worst songs they play at sporting events, though, it's got to be Gary Glitter, Rock and Roll, Part 2. Oh, I know. You're sitting there right now going, hey, come on. It's a classic. Yeah, until you think of the fact that Gary Glitter is serving 16 years for doing some horrible things with underage girls. He's in prison right now. And when you think of this song, and like Gary Glitter cruising around in his dirty van playing it for the neighborhood kids, then you start to go, yeah, this is like the pervert ice cream man song. I mean, his last name, Gary Glitter, really? He probably had that name airbrushed on the side of his dirty van as he drove through the neighborhood handing out free candy. Stop playing Gary Glitter Rock and Roll Part 2. We don't need it. We can move on to other things. There are better songs. There are other things out there. You know, at some point we might have to play the better mix of songs instead of this garbage. These are some horrible songs, though, and I've heard them enough. Hey, next week on the show, got to talk some more NBA. The NBA is heating up. And, you know, the NFL scouting combine is coming up. I know. We'll do anything to talk about the NFL. Just don't make us talk about the NBA and you know, baseball year-round. But the NFL scouting combine's coming up. We'll talk about that just a little bit. Plus, college hoops is heating up. We try to keep you informed and get you ready for March Madness. It will be here before you know it. And as usual, we will always have our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to iTunes, give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. Have to say thank you to John for joining us and talking some hoops with us. Always appreciate that. Feel free to join us anytime. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I would like to tell you all just have a great week. I will see you all next week, everybody.